Good morning, everyone. My name is Laura Burnham, and today I'm going to be presenting again on breastfeeding in a U.S. inner city neonatal intensive care unit 10 years post baby friendly designation. And so, first and foremost, we have no relationships to disclose. And a little background on our study. As most of you probably well know, breastfeeding is healthiest for mothers and infants, especially vulnerable infants in the neonatal intensive care unit. And for the NICU population, breastfeeding can be more difficult, but it has many important health benefits. And the World Health Organization's Baby Friendly Hospital Initiative directs hospital practice to promote and support breastfeeding. And although Baby Friendly was designed mainly for the well baby population, many of its practices apply in the NICU as well. So the study we're looking at today was conducted at Boston Medical Center in Boston, Massachusetts. And BMC received baby-friendly designation in 1999. It's a level 3 NICU, and it serves a predominantly low-income Black and Hispanic population. And there have been several changes at BMC since it received designation in 1999. Its NICU has expanded from 15 to 22 beds, and the number of international board-certified lactation consultants has increased from 0.4 full-time equivalent IBCLCs to 2.5. And I want to mention that these IBCLCs are devoted to the hospital overall, and there are no IBCLCs who are devoted solely to the NICU. So there are some baby-friendly practices that pertain in particular to the NICU at BMC. So the BMC NICU has a preterm infant feeding policy that includes instruction on hand expression and supports pumping after birth. They support educating mothers during the pre- and postpartum period and educating clinicians as well, promoting skin-to-skin and kangaroo care practices, and paying for all formula, even the expensive preterm baby formula. So the objectives of this study was to compare the rates of breastfeeding initiation and continuation in BMC's NICU in 1999 to 2009, 10 years after baby-friendly designation. And from these results, we hope to determine if breastfeeding rates increased, decreased, or remained stable over this time period. The methods for conducting the study were to review the medical records of all infants admitted to the BMC NICU in 1999 and in 2009 for demographic and feeding data. And our outcomes of interest were breastfeeding initiation, which was defined as an infant receiving breast milk within the first week of enteral feeds. And we looked at the first week of enteral feeds as opposed to the first week of life, because oftentimes when infants are admitted to the NICU, they don't receive feeds orally during their first week of life or the first days of life. Our second outcome of interest was breastfeeding continuation, which was defined as an infant receiving any breast milk during a 48-hour period at 2 weeks of life. And we looked at exclusive breast milk, and then also as receiving any breast milk at that time period. And we performed chi-square analyses to compare outcome measures between 1999 and 2009. So here's the exclusion flow chart for our study. As you can see, there were similar numbers of infants admitted in both 1999 and 2009. And infants were excluded from the study if they died in the NICU, were missing feeding records, or were transferred into the NICU. We only wanted to look at infants who were directly admitted to the NICU, who had received NICU care from the beginning of their life. And then infants were also excluded if their mothers were ineligible to breastfeed. This was for a variety of reasons, from substance abuse to serious social service issues. And if you look at ineligibility between the 2 years, the main difference occurred in substance abuse, in mothers who were ineligible to breastfeed due to substance abuse issues. And it decreased from 20 mothers in 1999 to 10 mothers in 2009. And this was due to a policy by the American Academy of Pediatrics, which recommended that mothers breastfeed on drugs like methadone for opioid dependence, when before in 1999 they weren't recommended to breastfeed. Here's a table displaying the demographic characteristics of eligible mothers for the study. As you can see, about half of the mothers in 1999 and in 2009 were between the ages of 20 and 30. And in terms of race and ethnicity, the majority of mothers in both years were identified as Black. And overall, the population of NICU infants is very diverse at BMC. And in terms of insurance type, about half of mothers in 1999 and in 2009 were covered by Medicaid. And overall, the population of NICU mothers are covered by these public insurance programs or low-income insurance programs. Here's a table showing important demographic characteristics of eligible infants. If you look at mean gestational age at birth, about 60% of infants in 1999 and in 2009 were born between the ages of 30 and 36 weeks gestation. But if you look at infants admitted under 30 weeks gestation, the percentage changed from 6% in 1999 to 13% in 2009. However, this increase was not significant. But looking at mean birth weight, the mean birth weight of infants in 1999 admitted to the NICU was 2,506 grams. And in 2009, this number decreased to 2,172 grams. And this was a significant decrease with a p-value of 0.003. So it looks like infants in 2009 were on average a little younger and weighing less, which is important for this study where we're looking at breastfeeding, because younger infants and infants weighing less tend to have more difficulties breastfeeding. So here's our table displaying the main results. Looking at initiation rates first, for all eligible infants, 74% initiated breastfeeding within the first week of enteral feeds in 1999. And in 2009, this number had increased to 85%. And this is a significant increase with a p-value of 0.4. And in a post-hoc exploration, we decided to look at black infants only. And as you can see, the percentage of black infants initiating breastfeeding in 1999 was 68%. And in 2009, the percentage had increased to 86% with a p-value of 0.01. And if then moving on to continuation, so this is breastfeeding status at 2 weeks of life. For those looking at exclusive breast milk, for those babies receiving exclusive breast milk in 1999, it was 39% of the infants in the NICU. And in 2009, it had increased to 44%. This increase was not significant. But if you look at infants receiving any breast milk, the numbers were 66% in 1999 and 80% in 2009. This was a significant increase with a p-value of 0.05. The main findings from the study was that breastfeeding initiation and continuation at 2 weeks of age increased 10 years after baby-friendly designation in the BMC NICU. And initiation increased particularly among the black population, which was important to us because the majority of infants admitted to the NICU are black, and black mothers are more likely to give birth to preterm infants than mothers in other racial groups, and national rates of breastfeeding are lowest for the black population. A limitation of this study was that the effects of baby-friendly practices were not individually measured. So it's unclear whether practices had differential impacts on breastfeeding improvements. But a strength of the study is the fact that very few studies have evaluated the impact of baby-friendly designation on NICU breastfeeding, initiation, and continuation, especially 10 years after baby-friendly designation. So overall, our insights and recommendations are that the baby-friendly hospital initiative is aimed primarily at healthy term newborns, but it appears to impact NICU infants as well. And recently, an expansion of baby-friendly hospital initiatives 10 steps was published for the NICU and the Journal of Human Lactation, which could make the program more applicable in the NICU when in the past it has been aimed primarily at the well baby population. And finally, baby-friendly designation may continue to increase breastfeeding rates years after designation. So I can take any questions you may have. Hi. Yes.
Between mothers having milk and donors.
Okay. So to answer your first question, unfortunately, we're looking at one site, so you are limited. You're not comparing, increases at Boston Medical Center to increases at other hospitals just to see if there was a general trend. And also, we don't look at individual baby-friendly practices, so we couldn't say whether or not it's,
In that period of time, rates throughout the state of Massachusetts have gone up significantly in your period overall.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important to take into account because we aren't comparing it to other hospitals to see like another hospital that didn't become baby friendly and if they didn't see the same increases that we did. But I know just from talking to neonatologists in the NICU that being baby friendly has encouraged a continued focus on promoting breastfeeding, and also even other programs have been put in place because baby friendly exists. We have a donor milk program. To answer your second question, we have a donor milk program, but it was begun in 2011, so it wouldn't be taken into account in this study. This is only mother's own milk. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think is, and maybe Anne can speak to this too, but I think it happened because they increased IBCLCs because they became baby friendly. There was more of a focus on breastfeeding and more of a demand for breastfeeding support. So we wanted to note that that was a change that occurred that could also influence breastfeeding rates, but it was a change that occurred because of baby friendly.
Yes. Well, and do you find, because your lactation consultants are covering the whole hospital span, I would imagine there was less outpatient issues, and 0.4 FTE might have been enough suggesting labor and delivery. And so there was the 0.4.
There's a question in the back.
Yes, I just, Jesse can hear me.
Thank you.
you attributed this to the designation causing proliferation of practices, but I really wonder, and again, maybe this is philosophical, but the steps themselves, not the designation, cause changes in practices, and the proliferation of skills would cause the change to disseminate further. So I just think we have to think carefully. There's a lot of states that work on increasing the number of steps in place without up to the designation. So and we did a study that showed that it's not knowledge and attitude, but it's actually the practices that are associated with increased breastfeeding. So I just wonder if some doctoral student can disaggregate this all to see really what it was. And it could just have been
Yeah. And I want to. And it's not, we're not trying to suggest that, we don't have a causal relationship. So we didn't look at that. But this is just over the 10-year period, we also saw an increase in breastfeeding. So I mean, you can, you know, you'd like to say that it caused it, but we're, I don't want you to think that that's what I'm trying to say right now. But yeah, we did. That's one of the limitations. We didn't look at the individual baby-friendly practices to see how they had individual influence, but that would be an interesting study. And there's another question in the back.
Because we're improving the breastfeeding support in Mississippi, and we're still struggling with that. So to see that your program actually increased so highly in the black population was very, very important.
Yeah, we were excited to see that as well.
We also are a very special place that has a lot of work bringing in the fathers, and then, you know, there's been a real effort.
We have, I mean, you know, over half of the population in BMC is African American, so that's a, that's, you know, the people that we're serving, but I don't think that there's a particular focus on just, I think it's a focus on everyone in the NICU equally. Okay. I think you have, oh, sorry, you haven't asked a question. Yes. They didn't stratify the analysis, and I'm not sure if we would have had a large enough sample size to do so and find any significant results. But I think it is interesting to note that even though babies were being admitted at smaller birth weights and at younger gestational ages, you know, breastfeeding still went up when, if they were going, you know, if you're going to follow that trend, it would have gone down because they, those babies do tend to have more difficulty breastfeeding. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
For those of you who came in after I spoke, there's a sign-up sheet going around. Does anybody know where it is? Okay, so if anybody needs it, please do sign in, because we need to document our attendance so that we can have more breastfeeding sessions at APHA.